Hello, I'm Clive Johnson. Welcome to Impact, a podcast about how we can each bring about real change in the world and getting practical in making that happen.
And hello, I'm Ellen Bintz. A special welcome if you're listening for the first time, and a big thank you to our new subscribers. Each week, we look at how we can connect our hearts to offer healing for others with our collective intention, prayers, and meditation, and talk about the critical happenings in our world that need our attention right now. You can hear what news that caught our attention this week in our last episode, but in today's episode, we take one of our regular deep dives into one aspect of intention, healing, and prayer.
I am super excited to be able to introduce our listeners to a good friend of mine, Judith Tripp. I don't even know where to begin to introduce you because there are so many great things you've done in the world, Judith, and I'm excited for you to talk about the newest adventure that you're having. But I do know that you had developed DreamQuest, which I want you to talk about a little bit and tell our listeners what that is, 36 years ago. And we were on the Veriditas Council together. We were founding members over 20 years ago. So we got to be together at least twice a year, right, Judith?
Beginning.
Yeah, really develop a very, I would call it a sacred friendship. Judith yes. is definitely one of my soul sisters. I will say that. And I'm often very proud to be able to say that I know you when people say, oh, you know Judith Tripp? And I can say, yes, I do. So Judith, I know there's so much more to talk about with you. Well, hopefully we'll get to most of it because I doubt we can cover it all in this short time we have together. But I wondered if you could just kind of give us a little introduction into you and your latest adventure.
Thank you, Ellen. Yeah, I can. I agree with all the things you said. We are clearly soul sisters, and it's been a wonderful thing to know you and to be able to just pop back into relationship with you whenever we see each other. I think we did also do a couple of Dream Quests in Chicago way back
yes,
in the
day. That's right. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So maybe I should say a word about Dream Quest before
yes,
I go into the other thing, because Dream Quest was begun in 1987 at Grace Cathedral, and Lauren Artress had begun this idea of having an overnight for women.
Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. Yes. I just want to clarify.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And, a group of us came together to form it. And I was a small group leader the first time it happened. But it was one of those things where I just knew it was something I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So I soon became the leader of it and have been doing that for now 36 years. So we have gone to other places besides San Francisco, to Chicago a couple of times, mm-hmm. went to Portland for 13 years, and I've gone to Charlottesville now for 15 years, Charlottesville, Virginia.
Didn't you go to Poland?
I did go to Poland, and I went to Australia, and I did versions of the Dream Quest. Some of it was overnights, which is the usual format, or there was also a weekend and a four-day experience. So yeah, I've gotten to travel with it and show people as far away as Prince Edward Island once, and as close to home as San Francisco. That's our mainstay.
It's a really wonderful experience, and it's primarily just been for women, right?
It's I think we did a couple in Santa Fe that were day longs for men and women both, but the staying overnight in sacred space mm-hmm. is a women's only event. And that's what it is. It is large and small group rituals, processionals, singing, lots of things go on in the night. But primarily, we just kind of go into the land of the soul. Mm-hmm. That's the idea of it. And you know, up to 70 women come to these things. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to be in sacred space, particularly at Grace Cathedral, that is just such an exquisite space to be in with its labyrinth. And the labyrinth has been a centerpiece of this, the Dream Quest, since it came to Grace in 1991. So right. We had a couple of years before the labyrinth, and then the labyrinth itself became the centerpiece of the Dream Quest.
It really is like kind of being in a cocoon. And when you talk about safe space in general, I would say this is the quintessential example of that, because you feel very cared for, even as a small group leader. You feel very cared for, and it's a special time to go inward, but also to connect with other women. So it's the best of both worlds. I highly recommend it if you're anywhere near any of her dream quests. And we'll put all this information, of course, in our show notes of how people could contact you or see your calendar of where you'll be. So what else is going on? You also take people on wonderful trips and pilgrimages.
I do that as well. I'm going to lead two pilgrimages this spring, one to Portugal and one to Iona. And Portugal is with Laura Escolcas, who lives in Portugal. And the Iona trip, I'm leading with Connie Beal, who does Soul Collage. So both of those are coming, as well as a trip in September to Avalon, which still has space in it, by the way. And that's my favorite thing in the world to do. I always do that before I go to Chartres with Fereditas and walk that ancient labyrinth too.
And you do something in Chartres too with Fereditas.
I always teach a weekend class called Meeting Mary, which connects up with the sacred feminine aspect of Chartres Cathedral, and it being Mary's house, according to the church, even not only legend. So it's a beautiful place to tune into the sacred feminine and to see what it means to come into deep relationship with Mary as the representative of sacred feminine in that place.
If you haven't heard us talk about it yet, you will hear me talk about it, that Chartres really is the heart song for many people. And Gary Peterson, a friend of ours, also said that when he steps through the doors of Chartres Cathedral, he goes into liminal space. You know, it's really an experience. It's outside of Paris. So that's highly recommended too. And, you know, our listeners are worldwide, so many of them could get to Chartres easier than we can.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that. And then your newest adventure.
Okay.
The newest about. Adventure. And I said, before we started the recording, I said, you know, I don't really know a lot about this, so I am going to listen with open ears, just like our listeners, to learn more about what you're doing.
Okay, let me, I think the way I can make a segue into this is the reason I got involved with my latest project with the Earth Treasure Vase practice was through Marge McCarthy, our mutual friend who passed away last November. And Marge was sort of the grandmother of most labyrinth movements, not TLS, Veritas, everything. She just was an amazing, amazing woman. I love her dearly. And in 1991, in the midst of the pandemic, Marge contacted me and she says, I think I have something I want you to do. And she was 91 at the time and lived in Santa Fe. I live in the West Coast. And I said, okay, Marge, what is this? And Marge said, well, I had a vision that a labyrinth should be built in Washington, D.C., and an earth treasure vase should be placed beneath it. And she visioned this on a labyrinth walk one day. And Marge was not a woman given to visions, I'd have to say. She's a very pragmatic person. And she was very heartful and had deep Buddhist practice as well as labyrinth practice. But this was a vision she had. And I said, well, what is the earth treasure vase practice? And she said, well, that is a practice from 8th century Tibet that my teacher, Cynthia Jors, has been working with for 34 years. And she has a vase that, and they're small vases you can hold in your hands. And I can send a picture so you can all see too. It's sitting on my altar and back of me right now. But she said, I'm too old to do this. I have to find a place in Washington, D.C. to build a labyrinth, to do all these things. But you should do this for me and do this for everybody. So I got very interested in what the practice was and attended a full moon meditation that's online every month. And when I listened to the full moon meditation and the woman who was reading the names of the places these vessels have been planted, I just burst into tears. It was very much like I felt when I first went to Grace Cathedral with DreamQuest. It's like, okay, this is one of my things. Mm-hmm. I need to do this. And there, at that point, I believe there were 75 or 80 vessels that had been planted over the 34 years. And so this particular one that Marge, and the word we use is steward, she was stewarding, was going to be given to her at Ghost Ranch in September or late August of 2021. So I decided I was getting sick and tired of staying home, and I would just make a road trip to Ghost Ranch. And it turned out that Ghost Ranch was, Cynthia Jores was giving a workshop about the practice at that time. So I went and met up with Marge and her beloved husband, Bob, and then they drove me out to Ghost Ranch the next day. And Cynthia presented us with our vase on the labyrinth that is at Ghost Ranch, which I had only walked once before in the snow, I think, years ago, one of our council trips.
Mm-hmm.
So to say a little bit about what the practice is, Cynthia is a Buddhist and is both well-versed in the Thich Nhat Hanh school, and she's also an honorary Lama. So she studied deeply in Tibetan Buddhism as well as Thich Nhat Hanh's form of Buddhism. And she's been teaching for years and years, is a very, very devoted woman, you know, has done practice, lives in Santa Fe. And she got this practice because she went to Nepal in 1990 and trekked in the Himalayas. And as she tells it, met the proverbial old man in the cave. And she went to visit him, and she knew she had a question she had to ask him. And after a few days of being in his encampment, she said, "What can I do to save the earth?" A small question.
Yeah, just a small question.
Just a small question. We have those questions, you know. And instead of him going, blah, 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 doesn't know, or pray more or something, he said, "Here, this is an 8th century practice that vases are planted at significant places on the earth, and they do the work. They're preyed upon. People do all the things that fill it with, full of, certainly full of blessing, but also full of sacred objects.
Mm-hmm.
And this vase then is planted. And then the idea is that it emanates its blessing out into the surrounding area." So Cynthia came back to Santa Fe. She thought long and hard about what this meant. And then she decided that the first vase should go to Los Alamos, where the atomic bomb was created.
Right.
That was just close to her home.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did a lot of work with this, a lot of guidance work. And the first vase went into a cave in Los Alamos. And then she made the beginning of what she calls the Gaia Mandala in the four directions from Santa Fe. So at the mouth of the Rio Grande and the headwaters of the Rio Grande, and then two sacred mountains on either side of Santa Fe. And from there, then she started looking at the earth and asked the earth where would she like one, and started having this really strong dialogue with the planet, with who she calls Mother Gaia. And so over the course of years, these phases have gone to Africa, to Congo, actually, to Liberia, to South Africa in Africa. They've gone to the Arctic Circle. They've gone, one is in Antarctica. There's one in Israel-Palestine. There's one in different nuclear sites around in the United States, where in just an array of places that have come to her and to other people. And people will ask for a vase to go to a particular place. And Cynthia has just written a book, which I highly recommend, that's called Summoned by the Earth.
And we'll put that in the show notes for sure.
Yeah. And it just came out last week. And it's a beautifully written book. It has this quality of someone who's been out of practice for 34 years, and how deeply important it has been in her life and what she's been able to give then to other people. So I mean, I've been learning about this practice for this last 2.5 years, but there, Marge and I were on the labyrinth in Ghost Ranch, and we received this little clay pot. They're made of clay. They're very humble looking. There's a little cork on the top of it, and then silks from all the different colors that are significant in Tibetan Buddhism that are placed over the top and wound around with a cord. So we were having to think of where could we build a labyrinth in Washington, D.C. And Marge and I and Lars Howlett, who's our friend from Veritas and many things, a wonderful man, and a couple other people came in and out of that. I think Chris came to some of our meetings, Ellen, and we start. Marge had the idea that we could just call her local congressperson and they build us a labyrinth on the mall. But so that was a little grandiose.
So it weren't only that easy.
Yeah. So we kind of explored different things. And there, nothing was coming. I mean, she even wrote a letter to Deb Holland, who is, you know, from New Mexico, and thought that because she was a Secretary of the Interior and an Indigenous woman, she might have some sway and some interest in this. Just nothing kind of came to pass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, you know, my sense always was we would know what to do with this. And it needed also to collect blessings. So I've taken this face to Chartres and to England, to places that I find sacred and holy. I've taken it to Dream Quests, both here and in Charlottesville. I've given it, let people hold it from all kinds of walks of life. And it's getting nice and juicy. The thing that struck me was finally, like last summer, or maybe last spring, I started to get this idea that it shouldn't be under some big monumental labyrinth, but it needed to be in nature and maybe related to a labyrinth, but not just in official Washington with marble on top. Like, it needs to breathe.
I love that.
So I asked a friend of mine, I said, you know, who lived in Washington, D.C., I said, do you know any place like this? I know just the place, she said. And so I am not going to say much about where it is because we don't want people finding it. It's supposed to be kind of a hidden practice. But right. That started this whole process then of, okay, it's freed from this having to build a labyrinth in Washington, D.C., and there'll be labyrinths associated. And in fact, this place it's going to be is on a creek that dumps into a river that goes to the Potomac. And right where the Potomac meets Chesapeake Bay, there's a labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
So it feels connected, and I pray Marge is satisfied with this connection because it will, and it will be sitting in its carrying case underneath a small labyrinth. So So I actually went and found the place after I had seen it in my mind's eye. I found it back at the end of February. So then we had already planned that Earth Day would be the day of the burial. So a group of 14 of us are staying in this big house in Washington, D.C. And we're going to imbue this face with our feelings about our country. We're going to go as a group to the museum that's dedicated to Native Americans and also to the museum dedicated to African American history and culture. And go not as tourists reading all the little signs, but to go to immerse ourselves to feel about these two really big streams in American history and culture, what it means to understand the genocide of the Native peoples, and also what it means to understand the history, or at least to immerse ourselves and feel it, mm-hmm. about enslavement.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be talking about that as a circle of wonderful, wise women, some of whom you know, Ellen. Well, Johanna is going to come.
Oh, yay!
Part of that, and Cynthia herself is coming to this, as well as some of her inner circle of people who have worked with this project for all these years. So the idea is that, you know, we're going to just fill it full of both our anguish and our hope,
mm-hmm.
and give her to Mother Gaia and hope for the best. And apparently the astrology right before Earth Day is kind of really potent.
And oh, that's good to know.
That's good to know. There's a Jupiter Uranus conjunction, which I'm just finding out about. But yeah, so that is my current obsession, I have to
So
say.
I have a few questions about the
Yes,
vessels
please.
themselves.
Yeah.
Who makes the actual vessel?
Yeah, so this, the one I have, is called the second generation of vessels, and they were all made in Nepal. So when Cynthia met up with the old Lama in the cave, he said, go down to the road to the next monastery, they make vessels. So they're made with clay from Nepal that is also infused with a lot of blessing and relics. So that's where they came from. There is a third generation of them, though, that we made at Ghost Ranch that are made from the clay of New Mexico, of the Tewa people, the indigenous people in that area. And those are a new generation, first time in the West.
Wow.
This probably will go on. I don't know what
Well, I hope so. Yeah, it can't hurt. That is for sure. So when you map out where all of the vessels have been approximately buried, is there any correlation with ley lines or energy lines?
Yeah.
Or?
I mean, some of them have been intentionally planted where on ley lines and song lines in Australia, because there's a whole contingent of the vessels that have been, or vases, let me call them vases, that were buried in Australia. So there's some sense of that. So it's a couple of different kind of maps. It's not, it almost is more organic, like it comes about like Legacy Labyrinth,
Yes.
where people are called to do something about it.
Yes.
I mean, Washington, there, my new friend Louise, who is a minister at the All Souls Unitarian Church in Washington, D.C., says the ley line of Washington, D.C. is 16th Street, which is pretty darn close to where we're going to bury. And close to also this sense of 16th Street goes through the White House and the Ellipse and the National Mall.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's her sense of it, and she lives there. So it did feel like that just visiting this one time. It was so good to visit Washington, D.C. and go to the woods first in the midst of Washington, D.C. And then we went down to the marble
Yeah.
in parts. But there is land there, and the Piscataway people who were indigenous to the area where the vase is going to be buried were called people of the waters.
I love that.
Yeah, and Washington, D.C. used to be very watery and marshy and swampy, and then it was just paved over
Yeah.
So just there's all the original sins are here, the way that people paved over things that should have been left to be wetlands and healthy that way. And then the layers of all the things that have gone on. D.C. was built by slaves. D.C. is a bastion of intention during the Civil War.
Right. And tension, the stress and tensions that are happening now.
Well, those
anticipation of our elections and all of that that's going on here in the United States. Well, that's fascinating. And as you were talking, I was, we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, that the Global Healing Response's theme for this year is our planet.
Yeah.
We just moved out of the focus on water into the focus on Earth, which is perfect for us talking about Earth Day. Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about the water and then going into the Earth. I thought, oh, there's a synchronicity there for us. And what I love is giving people an example of what you're doing on Earth Day, and that there's so many different ways to participate in Earth Day and honor our Earth. So when you finish with this project in Washington, do you have your eyes on another project or another site?
You know, I don't at the moment. I had I did a different burial with one of the vases that was made in New Mexico already in Scotland. That one happened very easily and rather quietly. But I hope to be involved in this organization ongoing. It's a lovely, lovely full moon meditation every month. A group of people that are international and I'll certainly stay with that. I don't know if there's another one.
You'll see.
But this one has to be complete first before I can think about that.
Okay, I love that, honoring this and staying here and giving it your full attention before you move on to something else. Do you think there are other organizations or other people, since this came out of Nepal, doing the same thing in other places?
I mean, it is a Tibetan Buddhist practice, so I think earth treasure vases are also in other, branches of Tibetan Buddhism, which is a rather complicated system of all kinds of things. I'm not aware of anything, but it just seems human nature to bury things in
Yes.
commemoration, So, we that just is something you maybe people have done unconsciously, to put something into the earth to make that reciprocity with Mother Gaia. I'm giving you this, please receive it. And then maybe there's something given back in a way. So, I mean, in terms of people's own practices on Earth Day, I mean, if you bury your blessings right into the bosom of Mother Earth, I mean, I think that's an important and very natural kind of practice that human beings are, probably have a predilection to doing.
Fascinating. I can't wait to hear your stories after you do this too. We may need to have you back to give us a
Okay, I'll
report
be happy
on what happened and what your experience was. And who knows, you may be motivating someone else to contact Cynthia and they have an idea where they need to have a vessel planted in the world. So
People have asked for them at different places. I know after 9/11, one was buried in near the cloisters in Manhattan, up in the northwestern corner. And and there's one that's buried near Fukushima in Japan. So they have responded. People have responded wanting these vessels in certain places. There's one in the demilitarized zone in Korea. And places where there's been, ruin and destruction. It's just there. In my experience so far, this has been just a profound relationship with the energetics of the planet. I mean, to really tune into that and know on a different and in a deeper way than I ever have before.
Well, and part of my motivation for choosing our planet for the global healing response was in this year of division. And I'm sure you know how there's, like half of the world's population is going to be affected by elections this year. And they're calling it the year of democracy. The earth is what we all have in common.
Yes, I know.
Everyone who's on this planet, we all have that in common. And I've even been thinking a lot about gravity and how it holds all of us. And I'm even thinking about that with these vessels. And I would love to, if you saw a map of where all of these were buried, I mean, couldn't you, if you were coming from, wouldn't it be great if there were little lights that show
I know. I mean,
the energy that they emitted?
in Cynthia's book, there is a map that shows, but I've been longing for that too, to have a go actual globe with bright light shining to see. Because I mean, if we're all listening and responding to where Mother Gaia wants these, there's some sense of reciprocity with the being of the earth. Maybe there is a pattern that we would discern. Or maybe not. Maybe there's just, it's wherever and however, but it makes people fall in love deeper with the earth. I think that's one of the outcomes of this.
That's awesome. Do we have one in Auschwitz or any place like that?
Someone is taking one to Auschwitz.
I do believe that, we have these places on the earth that we're all attracted to. Like for me, Maui was a place where I just didn't want to leave and felt a strong attraction. So I think just the physics of that is if there are those places, there are also vortexes that are negative energy. And maybe this could do something to shift that, if possible. Yeah, very
Well,
cool.
and there is one in Haleakala, so
Oh,
there is one in Maui.
Well, I'm sure. I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
You were talking about Cynthia's book, and as you were saying that, I reflected on your book that you wrote and how wonderful. I have, you know, a funny story. I think I've told you about your book. It's not funny, haha, but I had to be in court for some reason. I think I was, you know, our listeners know that I helped inmates, and I think I was maybe testifying for an inmate or something. And it was a little stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And I took your book that day.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lunch break, and I sat in the cafeteria and read your book, and it calmed me and gave me peace. So I thank you for that. I highly encourage our listeners to look into that too. It's a beautiful book and very well written. You have a gift for writing. So thank you for that. And also, I have a few of your CDs that I listen to. So she's a multi-talented person, let me tell you, folks. The one that you, didn't you tape one in Chart?
Well, yeah, there's one that I taped or recorded during a labyrinth walk. And I was making music with my flute and also singing some. So that one's right, has the vibe of Chart Cathedral in it. It's called To Bless the Walk. And yeah, that's, and you can also hear the people with their shoes on the stone. So there's some nice feelings of atmosphere there, but it's a very a meditative, quiet kind of piece. Yeah.
They all are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Judith. This has been wonderful. And I'm so happy to have learned more about what you're doing and about the vessels. And I can't wait to hear how this project goes.
Yeah.
Hope you will come back and talk to us again.
I'd be happy.
Well, we
to.
Know that you will, because just to tee our listeners up, Judith and I participated in the Parliament of World Religions last August and had wonderful, and I don't know about you, but some profound experiences there. And we wanted to share that with you. And in fact, that's what we were going to do today, but we pivoted because this seemed really important. And, but we will get to the Parliament soon. So thank you for being with us, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much, Ellen.
That about wraps it up for this episode. Remember, you can connect with us in the Facebook group and for live intention holding in Clive's daily insight timer offerings, and with me in the Labyrinth Activist Network's Zoom calls. Details of how to hook up with these are in our show notes. And don't forget our main intention for this week, which we'll also put in the show notes. Look out too for our weekly news episode, which we'll be releasing in the next few days. Thank you for listening and for sharing with us and holding intentions. We look forward to connecting again next time. And in the meantime,
thank you, go well, stay safe.
And remember, we're more powerful together.
Impact is presented by Ellen Bince and Clive Johnson and produced by Impact Productions. Our theme music is by Chris Collins, and our logo artwork is by Auto Classic. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or your favorite podcast provider. We're a non-commercial podcast dedicated to people of any faith tradition or none who yearn for healing in our troubled world. Please pass on the word so others may join us in making an impact. Thank you for listening.